This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Bronze Electric Motors, the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, Wendy's, and Wilmax Pharmacy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are dealing today with some matters of national significance. Of course, there was yesterday's sick out at Lyndon Finley International Airport by people who worked in the firefighting and baggage screening area. And that continues today, though not as robustly as yesterday. Quite a number of people have returned to work. Quite a number of people have stayed home from work because they have sick slips for a number of days. I'm going to talk about that in a moment, this whole notion of sickness and work. But it's not as bad as it was yesterday, certainly. We don't know what it'll be like when peak hours hit, like probably this afternoon. Plus, it's a Tuesday. I don't know if traffic is as robust as on a Monday. But about 5,000 travelers impacted. Everyone who went to the airport, maintenance, tourists, all this stuff like that. So I'm going to first, before we get into that, because I got a better understanding of what exactly is going on from the government and why Chester Cooper, the deputy prime minister, would come out and say on behalf of cabinet, we're going to pay these people, and why these people actually weren't yet paid. And then we're going to talk about this whole interconnectedness we talk about and why I don't support what the union did yesterday and never will, unless the situation is radically different. It is an act of extreme selfishness to put at jeopardy people whose jobs are not protected, such as yours are. You have the luxury of calling in sick, which I hope to get to in a few, and why that is actually a thing. You have the luxury of calling in sick, right? You have that luxury. You have the luxury of having maintained your jobs during the pandemic when actually little to no tourists were here. All right. You have an extreme privilege over people out here who got to work. All right. So again, we got to start thinking about the Bahamas as a part of an interconnected community instead of always thinking about me, ourself, right? In terms of if you're at a linchpin position, you gotta be a part of the collective. You can't just worry about your own stuff, particularly when you're not, like the way Kimsley Ferguson made it sound, and the way the textures are messaging me, they're going, everyone broke. Yeah, you had a job all this time. How are you broke? If you had a job all this time and you are broke, that is your fault, okay? I will say it again. Even with gas prices going up, all right, even with grocery prices going up, if you have a consistent, comfortable income, as I understand these people do, and you are broke, that is your fault. All right, you can't cry, I got a job, but I'm broke, and I go here. Well, you know, let's fix it as a nation. There's some things we should figure out for everybody, cost of living wise, but I'm sorry, you're gonna have to manage your personal finances without inconveniencing all the rest of us. All right. So, but let me pull up this thing from police because I want you to hear this. All right. One moment. Let me just put it up. And here's why: if you have a job and you're broke, this is on you, and we got to change our mindset. Well, you don't got to do nothing. If you got a job and you're broke, you're probably not in the right job, or you're doing something wrong with your own personal finances, all right? And so you need to start looking critically at what's going on. Why are you broke? I was there too, you know. I used to be broke too. And I had to sit down, take a good look at myself and go, why do I have any money? And the first thing was like, I need a better job. All right. And so that's what I worked toward. But the second thing is, until I get a better job, I have to manage my finances properly. All right. Where is this thing? There we go. It's Chrislyn Skippings. Da, da, da. This is... Da, da, da. Okay. It says, police advise public of trend in stolen vehicles. Police wish to advise members of the public to be vigilant and aware of their surroundings on arrival at their homes. Over the past few weeks during the evening hours, police have seen a trend where residents on arrival to their homes have been approached and subsequently robbed of their vehicles by males armed with handguns. Members of the public are encouraged to get to know their neighbors and the vehicles they drive and to pay close attention to vehicles parked in the immediate area of their residence. If you're not familiar with a vehicle, police are encouraging you not to approach your residence and to contact 911 or 919 or visit the nearest police station before driving into your yard. Yeah. So here's the thing. You know how I often say I don't know what happens out there at night because I don't go out at night? This is why, right? So if as long as y'all are out here wilding, I'm not going to be out here at night with y'all. Some people don't have that luxury, though. They got to go out at night. They work in the evening. They come home late. It is unavoidable for them. So please, please be careful. I saw you guys arrested 27 people with gang-related stuff. The other day, I didn't hear about any charges. Hopefully, you're building a much larger case, and we can get a lot of these people off the street. Anyway, let me not do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that today. Focus, McCartney. Let the Lord guide you. Since what? You have new competition, Daryl Miller back on the air. Yeah, no, I saw. God bless him. I love Daryl. I hope he does well. It's good. I'm happy he's there competing. No problem. Good stuff. Where's Levin Miller? Ask Levin. Levin was always a big Daryl Miller fan, you know? And so when Levin worked with him, I'm sorry, Levin, I'm talking about your business, but Levin worked with him in the round 10 election. It was Levin, Nahaja, and Daryl were doing this, and the PLP was sponsored, and they were doing this assessment of the rallies, et cetera. And, you know, Levin was like, that was amazing. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Just, you know, be careful. You get a little wild there at times. And he's like, man, it's incredible. Why would he not be a Guardian Raider? I said, all right, no problem. Anyway, I can talk all your business, Levin. Suffice it to say, one day, whenever Levin feels like, because he done diss me for Shanique, right? But everything cool. Whatever Levin feels like he wants to come back one day, we'll tell what can be told of our respective Abaco stories with Daryl Miller. So I have a story with Daryl Miller in Abaco, a wild tale. And Levin has one as well. Separate trips, but coincidentally, both in Abaco. I wish Daryl all the best. I love the guy. So whenever I see him, I hail him up. Try to bless him with a cold one or two. Sorry, I drifted for a moment there. Okay, now, watch yourself out here at night. These fellas are armed and dangerous, and they're trying to steal your car. So just be very careful. All right? For your own sake. So let's talk about what I understand about the union and this agreement. It says, I agree with you, Juan. It's called budgeting and prioritizing. Juan, you're so right. If you broke and can't pay your bills based on bonuses or salary increases, something is wrong with the way you're managing your finances. Your current obligation should be based on your current net salary. But you just can't tell me you got a job and you still broke. Then you got decisions to make. People have come to me before, you know, when and I had people ask me, I would like a raise. And I would say either we can do it or I'd be like, the company's not in a financial position to do it. Right. And they might come back to me a few months later and go, you know, I appreciate all that you've done, but I got to move on. I found somewhere making more money. That's no problem. I get it. You got to do what you got to do, but you can't come to me and go, well, you know, I'm my own personal circumstance demands that you now pay me more X, Y, Z. It don't work like that. It is that you can get a cost of living adjustment, but it is that your value and the company's financial ability to commit to paying you your value, those things have to align, right? Everyone takes these things personally, but that's what it is. This says, Mr. McCartney, were those employees who are off sick in receipt of doctor's certificates? As I understand it, sure. One, my health insurance went up 10%. What's up with that? Now here's, I can't say for certain, but if it's just kicked in July, I think that's because the government has changed, or let me say the government has altered its view of how insurance companies can deduct what the government is owed in value-added tax. Okay? So, and anyone from an insurance company, correct me if I'm wrong, what I understand is that prior to the new budget, insurance companies were charging VAT on health insurance premiums. And the insurance companies would then pay whatever portion of medical services on those health insurance policies, and they would be paying VAT to the medical services people, whoever, doctors, you know, prescription, whatever, right? And the insurance company was allowed to say, we use that VAT to the VAT that we collected from the premium to pay VAT for medical services. Therefore, we want to deduct the VAT that is remitted to you, deduct the VAT we paid to the medical services from the VAT we collected on the premium, and just remit to you what's left. And the government has said that we don't agree that that's the way the law was meant to be. You need to pay us the VAT on the premium, all of it. And the doctors, the medical services professionals, pay us the VAT that you paid them. All right? Because they still have to remit that VAT. And so the government has said, you can't do that. And that might be what happened. So now they're saying that there's an extra cost because they have to pay VAT on the premiums. I'm not 100% sure, but that's my understanding of it. I think that's unfortunate, but I don't know that I disagree with the government's logic. Okay? I don't want to pay more on my health insurance. But, and I don't know that I am, because no one said anything to me yet. All right. But I don't know that I disagree with the government's logic. I could be wrong. I'm not an insurance professional. Anyway, let's go back to what we're talking about. It says, morning, brother. What's wrong with the union doing what they did? So they had an agreement with minutes from 2020. You couldn't get minutes administration to sign in over a year. Don't forget the people get rid of that crew with a new mandate. So they did not meet a signed agreement, which the airport workers, which would have bind the new government. See, in this aspect, one can't say this is continuous. There was nothing in the agreement for the new government to be bound to. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. So let's talk about what I know, and we'll take a break in a minute. Let's talk about what I know. So what I understand is that an agreement was reached in December of 2020. Now, if you have verifiable information that can clarify any of this or contradict any of this, by all means, send it to me. All right. Juan at NASGARD, J-U-A-N at N-A-S-G-U-A-R-D.com. All right. My understanding is an agreement was reached between the airport authority and those BPSU workers in December of 2020. That agreement covered from July 1, 2015 to June 30th, 2020. However, the agreement was signed after the period of expiration, according to my sources. All right. So the agreement was signed after it expired. And the government said the airport authority and the BPSU should craft a new agreement. So a new agreement was crafted to cover 2018 to 2023. Okay. However, the airport authority never signed off on it. Not the board under the last administration or the board in this administration. The reason that it was never executed was that the industrial tribunal was saying that it's not consistent with the law. I'm not exactly sure which tenants weren't consistent with the law, but that's what was being said. So the workers said, we are, the union said, okay, we're not going to kick up. Pandemic happened. Government didn't have revenue to do any of this anyway. And so we'll wait. And so they went to the airport authority and the minister and everyone and said, look, this is our agreement. This is what we should have covered. We were patient and now we're owed this. The agreement covers salary increases. Salary increases, mind you, that cover the years during the pandemic. So this, I don't know who would sign such an agreement. It agreed to give them salary increases even through the pandemic years, which is wild. Which who on earth expects a salary increase, immediate or retroactive, during the height of the pandemic, particularly with the government? So they went to the government and said, well, we think that this is the agreement that the airport authority said that we should accept, and we accepted it. I'm not sure why the airport authority didn't sign previously. And the government said, okay, we don't want to run out. We see it seems like there's an agreement in principle, and we want to sort this out. Now, we're talking about $9.8 million, okay, to cover 500 people. So almost $40,000 on average a person we're talking about. Okay, these people had their jobs the entire time. I'm not saying you don't get the extra money. I don't know why you'd agree to it and not pay them, but we'll get to that. So we're talking about $40,000 a person. All right. I don't know when the last time was they had salary increases, et cetera, whatever. So I believe it's Chester Cooper. He goes to cabinet. All right. And he says, let's pay these people XYZ. We had such agreement. They're owed this. Cabinet agreed. All right. So after cabinet agrees, cabinet will have a decision, all right, and they'll send the paper to the Ministry of Finance. The financial secretary is essentially the permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance. That's the person who, you know, makes sure that stuff gets paid. And so the financial secretary in his office is going, okay, no problem. We got $10 million. You want paid to these people. So before I pay out $10 million, I just got to make sure that this is lawful. Right? That this is in accordance with the agreement that you have. This is my understanding of it. Because a permanent secretary in the government will not carry out a request for payment, a request to sign a contract, et cetera, if it's not in accordance with the law. So that's the function of the permanent secretary, to make sure that the things that are going out money-wise are in accordance with the law. One of the things is money, right? So if you're telling me just go pay old boy XYZ and the permanent secretary goes, well, where's the contract? Where's this? Where's that? And you go, well, I don't have one. Just go hit him off with 50 grand. Permanent secretary is going to say, I can't do that. All right. Now you could move the prime minister could move the permanent secretary and you could try to get someone who's more amenable, but the permanent secretary is going to go, I can't do that. That's not in accordance with the law. If it is in accordance with the law, the permanent secretary 99.99% of the time is going to go, no problem. I'll do it. All right. it's just a check on the system, really, an ultimate check on the system, and one of the ultimate checks. So the financial secretary's office looks at it and says, this does not appear to be consistent with the law. Okay? What you're paying them. This agreement was never signed, never registered, and we also don't think that the terms of the agreement are consistent with the law. So the Ministry of Finance asked the Department of Labor for an opinion. And the Department of Labor says, us looking at it, this is not consistent with the law, and we don't think you should pay this. All right? This agreement should be renegotiated, or send it to the Industrial Tribunal and let them determine if it's in accordance with the law or not. All right? So the Ministry of Finance goes, we're not going to pay. All right? We don't recommend you pay. It is our strong advice that it is not paid. Because when I hit this button and when I hit send on this email and the treasurer goes and pays it, it ain't coming back. All right? So the Ministry of Finance and the Department of Labor say the agreement is not consistent with the law and they need to renegotiate this agreement or figure out with the Industrial Tribunal what is going on. This matter was sent to the Industrial Tribunal, according to Keith Bell. Also, Clint Watson today said that the Prime Minister spoke with Kimberly Ferguson and he asked him to go ahead and submit a proposal of what they would want, which is what they were calling for all along. But I do understand why Kimberly Ferguson would be irate, because what is the cabinet coming out telling me I'm going to get paid for, and then I'm looking for my money and it don't come? We're going to talk about the whole aspect of cutting off your nose to spite your face, which I believe the union entered into yesterday. And we're going to talk about the whole aspect of sickness and work and why you even have that and why these calls, this throwback I'm hearing to the general strike and Randolph, I'm going to explain to you why that doesn't make any sense. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Wendy's spicy means Wendy's spicy. Unlike the other guys, our spicy activates all your senses. For a taste of Wendy's spicy, try the new Chipotle Crunch Cheeseburger made with fresh beef or the new Chipotle Crunch Chicken Sandwich, both with delicious crispy jalapenos, Chipotle aioli, cheddar cheese sauce, and much more. Taste the Wendy's spice in every bite of irresistible Chipotle Crunch Chopped Fries too. Stop in today for the flavor you crave. Wendy's, different inside and out.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Get ready to hit the road. Saturday, July 23rd, for the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Fun Run Walk. The race course begins and ends at Goodman's Bay Park. Pre-registration starts promptly at 0500 hours RBDF time or 5 a.m. regular people time. If you are a walker, a runner, need some vitamin D, or just need some exercise and fresh air, the Royal Bahamas Fun Run Walk is for you. For early registration, call the Royal Bahamas Defense Force now at 362-3853 or 434-1721. Hit the road Saturday, July 23rd for the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Fun Run Walk at 0600 hours RBDF time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. This says, I disagree. There are many reasons for being broke in the vagaries of life. Medical bills, credit card fraud, and one hepatitis B pill costs over $6,000. Non-generic. Many live above their means, which disables us for future financial encounters. Excessive taxes as to the problem. By the way, define what is broke. It varies from person to person. That's why I don't like to lend money. Broke is, here's broke. Here's the, just the general definition. Broke is when you have money coming in, but after you pay all your bills, you don't have no money left, and or you're still unable to meet your commitments. That's broke. All right, real simple. In a much broader sense, you could say the government of Bahamas is broke because you got a lot of commitments and you're just borrowing, 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 right? So broke people don't mean you don't have money coming in. Broke people mean you just can't afford to maintain your standard of life. All right, that's the difference between broke and poor. We got a call because I want to talk about this. Anyway, go ahead. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Hey, good day. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm great. How's it going?
All right, all right. Well, this might be, I won't touch on you, what you're talking about right now, but I want to ask you a quick question. What are the three major crimes we have in the Bahamas?
Three major crimes?
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about numbers or just severity?
Well, you could say by numbers because I think it's murder. Me, personally, I think it's murder.
No, murder way, murder, we don't have as many murders as we have, say, house breakings and stolen cars.
Right, but I mean, those would
and be assaults.
Basically the major ones, like murder, theft, like car and rape, right? So even if somebody was, like if I was to be getting robbed, whatever, and I called the police, I could see the people driving off, how do you catch them?
Yeah, so, you got a good point. Yeah.
So I see the saturation right now on the street, but I don't see no kind of cohesive measures to, you know, like what going on. Like, I mean, I know in your area, two ways to get out of there. So even if they get out, they got to go Eastern Road or Village Road. Now, any police on the Village Road or any police on Eastern Road, like, this don't make no sense what's going on. Like, it's just firemen running around doing nothing. Now, let me get the topic today. Very quickly, I was talking about it on your earlier show, that I don't see where, at this time, I mean, I understand. I understand the problem. I saw too. So I would love to get to be able to meet my bills and all that stuff or whatever. But like you said, for almost two years, we didn't have the numbers to match. You understand? The increase. So I can understand somebody even promising to pay during the pandemic and say, okay, yeah, I can give you all a raise or whatever, and things pick up. Because you're then in the hole. You're already in the hole. So how you can promise to pay people more money, you understand? So I really don't know where we keep going with this stuff. It's just throw stuff up in the air and hope wherever it lands, like, just to keep people quiet or whatever. And we can't survive this thing. We cannot. You understand?
Yeah, I agree.
Have a good day.
Thanks, my brother. I just think it's a matter of not really, I don't know. I don't know why. I would have had my attorneys look at it, my labor experts look at it before I said, yes, we're going to go pay it. Because once you make that public commitment, it's very difficult to claw it back, you know, as we see the difficult situation happening now. Okay. So let me deal with this one text here, right? So we talk about these levels of brokenness. This says, I don't blame the workers for asking for money they believe is owed to them. Rodney, get a $60,000 job quick. Let me show you something. Anyway, I can get right back to you. We got another call? No problem. I don't take the call. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon.
How's it going?
Listen, I am a little concerned that the workers in those, I'm taking a strike at this time. And I know they didn't say it's a strike. They call it a sick out this time because the country is trying to get back on its feet. However, it looks kind of bad because, you know, public opinion matters. And what you put out there for people to see is what they're going to go by. You know, those guys are hopping the plane with these huge entourage all over the place. They settling secret lawsuit and won't tell you how much. And, and so it's making the people believe they have the money.
Correct.
You know, so they're giving off the perception that, yes, we have it. However, it ain't for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is the stance that the persons are taking.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I'm gonna expound on that. I think you're exactly right. And I think the government is projecting this idea of prosperity and that they have the money and they can take care of it. And it is a matter of actual finance. It's just a matter of management. And I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, that's how I see it. Because I don't think they would want to. So I heard somebody call on an earlier show where they said there was actually an inspection due for the airport yesterday by international persons. So
there was an inspection. It began yesterday. I'm going to talk about that. It began.
Okay, so I know that gave a bad look.
Let me show you how serious this is, right? And I could only pray to God that the union didn't plan it like this. The Transportation Security Administration of the United States government rates airports based on their ability to be secure and be safe. Firefighters is a critical part of that. Baggage screeners, a most critical part of that. You risk your pre-clearance facility. You risk your safety rating, which means certain flights won't come, particularly at certain times. And we risk our TSA pre-check, okay?
Yeah.
We are the only country on earth that has a TSA pre-check outside the United States of America, not Canada, not Britain, not Mexico, the only country. And all that is at risk when the critical components of security don't show up for the security audit. It's wildly irresponsible of the union.
It is, however, the government holds some responsibility to that also, because on the outside looking in, they were making believe to the union that they had all the answers.
Absolutely.
You know? So I'm seeing, and then now Chester Cooper is trying to make those guys look as if they are the bad guy, and the government is the good guys, but y'all giving off a bad look. Y'all making me believe y'all got it to give, and y'all just refusing to give it to those who need it most. And
I don't think anyone looked good at all. I think everyone looks bad. The government looked bad. The PLP looked bad. The BPSU looks bad. Everybody looks bad. Right? And it hurt the country. Not the PLP. Not the union. It hurt the Bahamas. And I'm going to explain that in a moment. But thank you. Thank you for calling. All right. So let me show you something. I want to read this text. And we'll get to they spending money and it looked like they spent it, but let me show you something. Okay, so it says, I don't blame the workers for asking for money they believe is owed to them. Rodney got a $60,000 job. Quick. All right, so watch this. I don't blame them either. Never once did you hear me say, what are they asking for money for? Now, I believe you could sit down and hold tight for a while considering what happened. But when I see y'all flitting about and big delegation to Kigali and where else? UAE? When they got Qatar? No. Qatar people paid for that. When I see y'all with big delegation to Dubai, all right? Glasgow and New York and California and where's Suriname? Where the hell else is it? When I see all and everybody traveling along, I got a problem with it because I'm looking at you like, why y'all doing all of this? But yeah, when it comes time for me, I can't get it. So without getting through the vagaries of if the contract is actually valid in law, it looks like y'all got the money. Plus, you told me you was going to pay me the money. I met with you. I said, look, this is our understanding of the contract. You agreed. Y'all cabinet said we gonna pay y'all the money. Then I come back, I'm not paid my money. I'll be hot too. I'd have a problem too. No doubt. Well, there's two countries with pre-clearance, U.S. and Denmark. No, no, I didn't say pre-clearance. There's lots of countries with pre-clearance. There's numerous countries with pre-clearance. I said TSA pre-check. All right, go look it up. TSA pre-check. And we are the first country on Earth. All right, the first airport, outside of the United States to have TSA pre-check. All right, it is a big, big deal. All right. So it's a level of expedited travel screening that allows travelers to not go through all the stringent that, you know, to go to the airport, they tell you take off your shoes and all this other stuff like that. You don't got to do that with TSA pre-check. Our biggest market is the United States. This affects United States travelers primarily. And we could, that's a selling point to say we have TSA pre-check at LPIA. And travelers who got money, who go around, they know what that means. All right? TSA pre-check allows you to bring some liquids in. Remember they tell you, you got to go pour out all the liquid, the perfume, all the stuff like that. It allows for a much greater ease of travel and swiftness of travel than normal. So pre-clearance and pre-check are different things. All right? Only us have it. The TSA came to audit it. The Transportation Security Administration, they came to audit it, and our security personnel were out sick. They got barracuda poisoning. They're on drip. Yeah? It, God forbid the plane explode. Where the firefighters at? Well, all of them have barracuda poisoning. All of them. Right? Where are all the baggage screens at? Barracuda poisoning. Where are all the Family Island people at? Barracuda poisoning. Oh, y'all shipped the same Barry. Y'all had a big thing of Barry and ship it to all the all the 17 different Family Islands. That's what's happening. Okay. And the USA people are going to be like, oh, well, they got doctor's note. Are you out of your mind? Do you think everyone's jokey, like a game? Oh, sick. I sick, boss. You think they're playing with that? Only us playing. They ain't playing. With a TSA audit and pre-check. Only us playing. We sick. Y'all had doctors, don't you? Sure. I had Barry. Can't nobody mind a firefight. Man, y'all better get serious, Bud Light. Y'all better get serious about life. Y'all don't play like this when y'all go in the U.S. Embassy, you know. I watch y'all. The most well-behaved you'll ever see any set of Bahamians who overcrowded and jam up unnecessarily will be in the United States Embassy visa section. Y'all tiptoe, because you know they ain't playing. When it come to us, seem like it's okay to play. These people are more stringent than those embassy people. They use discretion. These guys got a checklist. And either you meet the requirements of the audit or you don't. Only us playing. That's how we want to get along. Like, we can play games. Oh, everybody's sick. Don't blame the union. They sick. We had a man, y'all better stop joking. Now, y'all saying don't blame the union. I don't blame the union for this whole situation. I blame the union for withdrawing labor. Y'all ain't going to get off that one with me. Y'all didn't have to do that. Don't tell me that was necessary. All right? This ain't a game, you know. To y'all, it's a game. Because we play around a lot. TSA ain't playing with y'all. They'll yank that and don't even sweat. You go call Marco Rubio and Joe Biden all you want. That'll be gone. Y'all don't get it together, pre-clearance will be gone too. Imagine how much Bahamians and everyone else that would affect. Anyway, we gotta go to a break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Paul McCartney. We're talking about the whole union issue. I support the union asking for their money. Again, I don't support the withdrawal of labor. And I want to go through where this kind of all stems from. Because there's so much. Anyway, let me just read this. Do the Americans have the authority to block Shirley Street at the Fortress of Solitude? Who can give that permission? What is it called? The Fortress of Solitude. I like that. I think I thought that in my head before. I look at it as like where I'm going to go if everything else fails. I know that they'll probably have armed Marines there if that happens and Defense Force officers, but I'm hoping they let the survivors in. The Americans don't have the authority, no. Not if it's not their property. And the public road is public property, so only the government can do that. And it's not permanent. It's going to end at the beginning of August. You need to see what's going on Village Road, Papa. Now we got a call in line. Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Afternoon, Juan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Okay, love your talk show. I must tell you that I usually listen to you all the time when I'm able to.
Thank you so much.
But wasn't everybody upset the other day when the government spent money decorating an apartment, if I'm correct?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, now see, Vaughn, I'm not one of those persons, you know, who struck. You know, I'm not even in that industry. Mm-hmm. But being a Bahamian, when I see these things happening in my country, and mm-hmm. you can do this with millions of dollars, but you can't pay me.
Right.
When I can see you give, you know, different entities, you know, leeway to, you know, you don't have to pay this, you don't have to pay that. And then common sense tells me things are going on under the cupboard, okay? Another thing, Vaughn, everybody seems to be forgetting that the government is making money, even though everyone wants to say the government's broke. Vaughn, mm-hmm. our government is not broke.
Okay. No, they could come up with $10 million. That ain't no difficult task for the government.
Juan, if you realize how much money the government gets just from VAT for 1 week, it would blow your mind, Juan. Okay? Mm-hmm. My thing is, I am not upset with the people because they're doing what they think they should do in order to mm-hmm. get their money. Now, if I was the government, I would pay them. Now, when they come back to work, you know what I do, Juan? I would mm-hmm. say, this is your job. This is your job title, and this is what you're supposed to do. Now, if you don't mm-hmm. do your job, I'm going to let you go because guess what? You just strong-handed me, and I had to pay you the money. No problem. I'm paying you. When you come to work, I want you to perform. One, that's what we need to start doing in this country, okay?
Yeah.
When you promise the people money, pay them the money. Vaughn, we're in an era now where I'm paying the bank to hold my money. I'm paying the bank when I withdraw money. I'm paying the bank when I want to deposit money. I'm paying mm-hmm. VAT when I send my two beautiful babies to school. I'm paying VAT when I'm getting my medication. That's not even buying groceries or paying my mortgage on. Mm-hmm. So as a Bahamian, when I see other Bahamians do this, I'm saying do what you have to do in order to get what you're supposed to get because guess what? When the government wants something, it's going to happen. When NIB is going to go up one and you and I have no governance in that. We have no voice in that. When it goes up, we're going to have to pay it, Vaughn. I'm a person who works in a hotel. One, the government takes out of my base salary, and they take out of my tips. Okay, Vaughn? And I have no mm-hmm. choice. That's what's going to happen. I would love to see my roads, you know, perfect. I'd love to see the hospital looking like it should look because, Vaughn, if I was to go to the hospital, I would have to pay in order to see that doctor. Okay, Vaughn? Mm-hmm. My thing is I want us to start working as a people, and when you come together and you work and you perform, you will see, you know, results. So pay the people. When they get to work, let them work. They don't work, let them go. Bring persons in who want to work one. We need to stop making excuses for everyone. You want your money, here's your money. But do what you're supposed to do. Now, everybody may be upset to say they shouldn't do it because this and that. Not one, I can care less. The people are doing it because they want their money. Because guess what, Vaughn? If I hire someone to clean my yard and I tell him, well, I'm going to pay you later, that man, he's not going to, you know, say, okay. He's going to do something. It's called cause and effect. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'd love my government, okay, to do what they're supposed to do. I'd love you to say, you know what? These are the taxes we're putting on you, and guess what? It's to make the Bahamas better. And when it makes the Bahamas better, it makes me better. One, the other day, when I heard how they told that lady she had to come out of her, was that a van or whatever she was living in?
Bus.
It hurt my heart, one, because I don't have problems with immigrants. But we have immigrants who come, and they populate, and they don't make small little shanty towns. They make large shanty towns. But here's this lady who is working, and she's living in a bus, and what does my government do? One, when I see those persons, but they can't go to America. They don't go to America and do what they do here, but we allow it. Everything is cause and effect. Now, if the people need to strike, one, I said strike. But when you come back to work, I expect you to perform. And when you don't perform, go home.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate your thoughts on that matter. I will say this. And she said, you know, you got to do what you have to do. But my thing is this. You didn't have to do that. Right. So the notion of withdrawing labor, sick out strikes, it stems from way back. All right. And it stems from a time in the industrialized nations where workers essentially didn't have rights. So and in fact, this notion of rights. All right. This is among humanity. This is a fairly new concept. Right. All of it. Inalienable rights, women's rights. There was a time not too long ago, not 200 years ago, women rights, y'all are considered the property of your fathers and husbands. And rights, they got to die. And then the next living male relative, that's this concept that we have right. And as workers, the union movement around the world has made such significant leap forward in the condition of working people around the globe that you would not want to ever say that we want to get rid of unions or we should have never had unions. We would have been screwed. That you have sick days, that's because of unions, all right? That you have an 8-hour workday, a 40-hour work week, that's because of unions. That you have a minimum wage, even though it's a government initiative, that's because of unions. That you have paid vacation and all this, that's because of unions. Those are things that the unions fought for. That you have processes and work where you can't just get fired for fun, that's because of unions. In 1958, this didn't exist. Okay? So you guys are channeling Randall Fox in a time that is drastically different than today. Okay? Randall Fox was the head of the Bahamas Federation of Labor. In 1958, we had minority rule where a set of rich Bay Street boy Bahamians, right, even to the chagrin of the British governor, controlled the public purse and carved out the major sections of the economy for themselves. All right? The Tourism Development Board was formed in the 50s. We wasn't into tourism like that before then. Go ask your Grammy, not Bud Brave. Go ask your Grammy what used to happen before the hotels and the ships was there. Your great Grammy. Some of y'all, anyway. Go ask him what used to happen. He was going to fish. He was going to go shell peas and raise chickens. That's what she was doing. Go ask your Grammy. You're lucky if you get to be somebody working somebody's house. Some wealthy person. You wasn't working in no bank, I can tell you that. You wasn't working in the front of the house in a hotel, maybe the back of the house. That I could tell you. So the Tourism Development Board was formed in the 50s, and this was the Fat Cats formed. It's Sir Randall, Sir Stafford and all these guys, right? The Tourism Development Board was essentially a slush fund that handed out government contracts to stakeholders that wanted to get into the tourism industry, okay? The taxi cabs, Black Bahamians started getting taxi cabs. I know we got calls. Let me say this. Black Bahamians started getting taxi cabs so they could pick up the tourists. So the tourists were now coming. And Stafford Sands, to his credit, figured out, you know what? This is a gold mine. All we got to do is invite them here and they'll come. So remember, they had the airport at Oaksfield. They moved that because I think it was Harry Oaks put it there. They moved that airport. They moved the airport to where it is today. Nassau International Airport, it was called. It's opened in 1957. And there was an immediate boom of tourists. And Black Bahamians were able to put together, get cars and say, we're doing taxi cabs. And they immediately saw a difference in their standard of life. All right? The Tourism Development Board started giving out contracts to tour companies. And so they circumvented the Black taxi cabs altogether. Some of those tour companies, several of them, are still in existence today. They give their homies, their white Bay Street boys, the tour companies, right? So the tour companies would just pick up the tourists as they came at the airport, and the taxi cabs would be screwed, but they would get a little bit of the flotsam, you know? And we were so cowed at that point, we were like, well, whatever we could get, you know, that's fine. You know, the big boys own everything and the UBP, yada, yada, yada. This is where we were. This is 57. This ain't ancient history. This ain't in slave times, right? We had electricity, some of us, and all this. So the taxi cab drivers were still content. All right? They were like, well, okay, well, at least we get some of it. We can't even, but the tour companies and Tourism Development Board, because they didn't deal with Black people, hardly. Then the Tourism Development Board went to form the, hell, I can't remember the name of it. It's Read the Faith That Moved the Mountain. In fact, I have a copy of it right here on my bookshelf. It's by Sir Randall Fox. I wish I could find the part in it. It gives a really comprehensive overview of leading up to majority rule. In any event, the taxi cab, the Tourism Development Board decided they were going to form a taxi company of their own, all right, to beat out the Black taxi owners. And they were essentially going to lose all the ground that they had gained, all right? Now, you had Blacks who were in certain positions in society. There were lawyers, there were doctors, et cetera, right? And Randall Fox said, no, we're not going to do that. And so in order to save our livelihoods, in order to take a stand for social change, Randall Fox and the Bahamas Federation of Labor orchestrated a general strike in the country for, I believe it was 20 days, all right? And it basically shut the country down because all the Black people who were doing the servant things, they refused to do it. And that brought about much needed change, that birthed the labor movement as a force in this country to bring about real change, all right? There was no 40-hour work week. There was no sick pay. There were none of those protections for workers. They didn't exist. This is not 1957. We have some of the most robust industrial relations and labor legislation on earth. We have not only a Department of Labor and labor laws that didn't exist when they had a general strike and they had to shut it down. We have arbitration processes all the way up to the International Labor Organization. We have the National Tripartite Council. We have umbrella unions, we have attorneys, we have a court system that has been accustomed to this. The government, the unions that are under the government have taken the government to court more times than I can count right now and won without the withdrawal of labor. So this isn't 1957, 1958, where you don't have mechanisms to get your money. And it is also not 1957, 1958, where tourism has caused an exponential growth in our gross domestic product and accounts for 60% of our GDP. You have other options than to withdraw labor, and it is too important for a few hundred people to screw it up for an entire nation, even the chance to screw it up. How quickly we forget, how quickly your belly get full and you forget. And I'm not dissing nobody. People were begging me for food vouchers during the pandemic.
not play acting, begging. We don't have the same circumstances that requires you to use the same tactics as the labor movement 70 years ago, 65, whatever it is, years ago. That's not real. You're being extreme and you're risking incredible harm to our country. You have mechanisms to get the government's attention. You have mechanisms to sue the government. You have mechanisms to deal with the government. Should the government say, I'm going to pay you and don't pay you? Of course not. Should you be upset about that? Absolutely. Should you screw with our airport? No. Because as I said earlier, you guys got paid during the pandemic. The people who were begging me for food vouchers, they're just catching up. Why would you put them at risk when your jobs are protected? Their livelihoods are not. The conch salad vendor, the guys at Arawak Key selling daiquiris, the guys selling scooter rentals, they don't have protected jobs like you do. They don't have industrial agreements like you do. They don't have any place to go to. Well, they have the Department of Labor, but they don't have lawyers like you guys and umbrella unions who could come together. There's a better way to do this. Does the government bear a lot of responsibility for how this all turned out? Absolutely. But to the point where you withdrew your labor, you withdrew your labor. That's on you. Nobody locked you out. Nobody fired you. You decided to do that. And it does us harm. And so the Bahamas Public Service Union must also consider the Bahamas as well as the union. Because the Bahamas is more than just you. We got a call. Let's take a call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. I was checking with this same union leader when the government signed a memorandum of understanding with them and leaders.
He wasn't a part of that.
No, that's what I say now. He was criticizing that. And I was saying, when brave them when this guy gonna be a problem to them. I knew that was gonna happen because he wasn't a part of that and he was criticizing it straight through. He was invited to that signing, but he never showed up. He just was criticizing it straight through. You know?
And
one more thing.
Kim Lee Ferguson ain't on the government run, clearly, but, you know.
Yeah, one more thing I was supposed to ask you. I was asking you about that earlier on some shows about the crew of them cruise ships that come to these keys. And
we can't deal with that today, my brother. Let's deal with that another day. Let's deal with union matters today. All right. I appreciate you. Let's take another call. We got another call? If we got it, let's take it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No call? All right. No problem. Then let's do some text messages. It says, one, taking in revenue doesn't mean you have money. We've not had a balanced budget since before independence. Our expenditure is too high. The government is pushing out a false narrative, agreed, to make investors comfortable to invest in the country. I wouldn't say false. They're just painting a much rosier picture than I believe exists. All this present government is doing is trying to kick bills down the road. That's why I respect Miles Arota. He isn't on the company line. He's telling us how it is. NIB is in trouble. Political honesty is what I'm looking for. But one question, though, since September, how many days has Chester Cooper been acting prime minister in the Bahamas? The absence of the PM, just, I don't know. He had a lot of practice, though, eh? He could probably step right in right now. All right. And actually, she was saying the money the government takes in would blow my mind. I don't got to wonder about it. I'll pull it up for you. This is the monthly fiscal summary report, April 2022. This was released this month. This is the latest information they have. During the month of April, the government took in $334.5 million in revenue, a 70% improvement over the same period last year. $121 million of that was in VAT receipts. And April's kind of an outlier. I'll tell you why. $48.9 million in international trade and transaction taxes, $36.1 million in other taxes on goods and services, and $23.4 million in property taxes. Here's why it's an outlier. Non-tax revenue collections of $104 million is explained by $17 million owing to the sales of goods and services and $87 million in other non-tax revenue, $86.2 million of which attributed to the return of a capital subvention for PHA expensed in the prior year. That would be the money for the new tower at the hospital that they were planning, many of them were planning, I believe. If you want a clearer picture absent that, let's try to look at March and see where we are. All this on the website. Nah, I ain't no auditor. I ain't check all this, but this is what they say. This is what they say happened. During the month of March, revenue receipts totaled $28.7 million. And in March, you had a bunch of bank license fees, which is $14.6 million, property income, $14.3 million, $86.4 million in VAT receipts. So you're getting around $100 million in VAT, just in VAT. We collect other taxes, by the way. About $100 million in VAT. All right. Just VAT. How much is the government spending? So I can put it into context for you. In March, the government took in $287.2 million. And in March, the government spent $294.9 million. So they took in $287.2, they spent $294.9. All right. Do we have a call on the line, you're saying? Call on the line. Let's take the call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, what's going on?
Not bad. You know, apparently, that union leads along with Belinda Wilson. They seem to be, they don't seem to have no political, politics doesn't to have an influence on them.
Yeah, I don't think Belinda Wilson cares who's in the power. Yeah.
Right. Hello?
Hi, I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah, and according to this, it seems like those airport workers, like they police officers. You know, they can never strike. You know, so that should be off the table at all times. You know,
so you can make that argument,
fund
yeah.
the government to get to pay these people what's due to. You know, and we need how we support them to ask for their money. We should demand that the government pay them their money. You know, because they are very important. I mean, to protect. If you know, we want to protect our tourism product like that. You know, we should not let the government get away by calling by putting the blame on them, but not taking responsibility for their part in the situation.
And agreed.
You know, those people who support the government, I would like to ask them, what happens, when is the best time for the teachers to strike? You know, because, they, you know, if this was happening when school was on, and those unions have some type of togetherness, this airport situation would be a different issue. It would be more pressure on the government to do right by these unions. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, thank you. So I'll say this, and a lot of people are saying, don't let the government get away. I'm not letting nobody get away, but y'all keep saying the government. My larger point is that these actions are not necessarily going to hurt the government or Brave Davis. The government's not going to stop existing. The government might change, and you might strike some political fair in them, but that only matters if you can get the public sentiment on your side. What you're doing by this is hurting the country. All right? You're hurting the Bahamas, not the government, not the PLP. You're screwing over your fellow Bahamians. All right? You mad at the government? No problem. Take the government to court. You already have them in the industrial tribunal. Take some other action against the government. Go deal with it a different way. But this, I ain't worried about how Chester Cooper look or how Brave Davis look. I could care less. they're grown. They can deal with themselves. I'm worried about the people who are begging for food vouchers, yo. I'm worried about the people who spend all their money and their life savings plus to go get a stall at Araki to go set up a little business. I'm worried about the girl who said she was making sushi out of her home during the pandemic and now set up something on Araki. She ain't got to run water. She don't got no electricity. All right. I'm worried about her sustainability, her movement forward. She's got kids. She's young. She's got to live in this country beyond. Well, I'm young too. She's got to live in this country beyond when a lot of us will be gone. And our children do, and my children do. I don't want you to hurt my country. All right. I want you to get your money. There's a better way to go about it than this. Is all I'm saying. This is not 1958. It's not responsible what you're doing. It's not called for. It's a drastic overreach. It really is unfortunate that it got to this point. And the government has some of the blame for how they've approached this. All right. But ultimately, you walked off your job. You called in sick to your job at a time when we could least afford it. And you're gonna, and you know what's so screwed up about it is you did that. Did you get your money? Did they send it to your bank account? No, right? But the damage was done. You're gonna get your money, maybe not the $10 million you think you're supposed to get, but you're gonna get your salary increases. You're government workers. You're the most protected class of people in this country. Who has more privilege who works in this country than a government permanent worker? Who? In what industry? Who's the last people to get fired in this country? Government workers. Who are the first people? Who are the people who are most certain they're going to get paid in this country every month? Government workers. What's the biggest expense of our budget to date? Benefits and emoluments, salaries for government workers. Check for the rest of us too, though, eh? Because our taxes are going to help fund all this. Not so y'all could get paid and be comfy, but so the country could work for everybody. So consider the rest of us next time you want to do this. Before you go eat bad barracuda. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Picking a pharmacy that is convenient, reliable, and puts you first? Only one name comes to mind, Wilmax Pharmacy, a team of trusted and trained pharmacists ready to serve and assist you with all your pharmaceutical and over-the-counter needs. We also carry beauty and hair products as well as household and everyday supplies. Open 7 days a week, 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. NIB drug plan is accepted. Cut down your wait time. WhatsApp new prescriptions and refills to 817-4067. Visit Wilmax Pharmacy today. Poinciana Drive, opposite University of the Bahamas. Call 323-1037.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. Until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
The King wants you to take a walk on the tangy side with the all-new Zesty Whopper Collection at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy the classic Zesty Whopper with two types of cheese, zesty sauce, and crispy onions stacked on 100% flame-grilled beef. Or go zesty on our plant-based Whopper and crispy chicken. All three are saucy, crunchy, and full of flavor, and only available at Burger King Nassau. Visit any of our seven locations and enjoy a Zesty Whopper as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Hello? Keisha, you something else, boy.
Who this is? Tamika?
You ain't even remember my name? Wow, Dred.
Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning your trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I write here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we have to. We ain't been nowhere since the pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation. Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you good?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine, cause you too like travel.
When you get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Cause you gotta get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel.
Johnny get his vaccine at 12. Even Grammy get his.
Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding out under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list, cause I know you going shopping.
You should don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, late tomorrow. Message by Paho WHO, Canada, and USAID. Do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online. Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today. We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Claret Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them on 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality. We'll be right back.
afternoon. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. Let's do some text messages. It says, Juan, you have a two-side tongue, bro. Under the last administration, you supported us as a union members fighting. Now you're defending. Life is really something else. Yeah, life is something else that you could say that I ever supported union members withdrawing their labor from a critical position. I will give you $500. $500. If you find me audio saying that union should walk off the job in some critical area, take your pick. BPL, hospital. If you found me saying that union members should walk off the job over a money dispute under the last administration, I will give you $500. You ain't got to explain it to me. Come to the station, bring me the clip, the date of the show, $500. Right? Five big Arthur D. Hannahs for you. You won. You're talking about I got a two-sided tongue. You're talking nonsense. I've never supported that. From as far back as when the nurses were on strike, I never supported that. When the nurses withdrew their labor, my aunt, who's on dialysis, called me and said, please beg the nurses to come back to work. You don't know what you're talking about, but that's okay because a lot of you don't. You have in your head that I ever said people should withdraw their labor from a position as critical as airport security. When has any union member come on the show and I go, you should do that? When? $500 just for you. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. And I'm not defending the government. I'm saying I don't agree with you withdrawing labor. You're playing too dangerous a game for me. 500, Papa, bring it to me, since your memory's so good. It says, one, it's a good thing that you're bringing up our modern history because the average person simply has no idea of the true meaning of unions. But I didn't know that we were up for a country audit. This action can be catastrophic. Yeah, the audit is going on now. It says, I'm so proud of the union. Shut it down. Oh, boy. Y'all don't learn, son. I got to tell you, shut it down. Shut it down for what? They shut it down in 1958 because we didn't have laws to address labor concerns. It was the only way to do it. If you're sitting there telling me that we don't have methods to address contract disputes among labor, then stop talking because you need to go back to school before you start talking on this subject. There's union strike all over the world from pilots to air traffic. Yeah, and they get fired all over the world and they do catastrophic damage all over the world. The only way I support you walking off your job, if you're in a critical area, is if your job is unsafe or if you have something that is simply unresolvable that the government refuses to address. Not be having a conversation and ain't going the way I want, so let's pull out. Now, you shouldn't as a government be talking about we can pay y'all. Agreed. But when you go, okay, we can't pay y'all, y'all bring us into a meeting and go, here's the deal, man. It's going to take a little longer than we thought. Because we got to make sure we're in accordance with the law. And that's just what it is. Now, everything that we could do within our power in the law that we feel makes sense, we will do. But just hold on a bit longer. You'll never hear me support nothing like that in your life. Y'all don't understand the damage y'all doing to the country. And the stupidity of it, right? Homeboy, this homeboy, shut it down, right? You don't remember when it was shut down before? Shut it down for 500 people to get $10 million? You remember what happened last time it was shut down, right? You don't remember? Whenever we have the Rad Band show, the nighttime version of this show, I can tell you some stories, buddy. Make your eyelids peel back. That, I could tell you. Shut it down. you know what, you saw what happened when it shut down. You ready for that action? Shut it down? Y'all ain't ready. I ready. I got my coconut tree fashioned in the form of a boat and a raft right now. I got an exit plan. Again, I've been preparing for the zombie apocalypse for nigh on 20 years, yo. I don't think y'all ready for this type of action y'all talking about. Me, I'm ready. Juan, you're talking history, which is good, but you fail to understand that the government is the biggest enemy of labor, and they're in bed with major employers because they're lazy to create jobs outside of foreign investors. The unions nowadays don't have the same force and respect they used to due to restrictions on the law and the meddling of the government. The unions have more power than they ever did. More tools, more power, more leeway, more benefits. Y'all make more money. Y'all have signed a memorandum of understanding with the government that gives things that I don't agree with, like pension forever, non-contributory. I don't agree with that. And the government's too lazy to create jobs. I got you. Which foreign investor employs more people than the government of the Bahamas? Help. Let me do this. Which five foreign investors combined? Which five foreign-owned companies in the Bahamas combined employ more people than the government of the Bahamas? I'll go further for you. Which 10 companies owned by foreign investors in the Bahamas combined employ more people than the government of the Bahamas, all its agencies, and corporate bodies that it owns? Help me. Since the government don't be creating jobs. Hi, Juan, please give me the name of that book the doctor spoke about yesterday and where I can purchase a copy. The name of the book, you're talking about Dr. Taz. I can pull it up for you. Let me see here. I can't recall off the top of my head. I had it somewhere on my laptop. Now, I'm not saying the government's doing a bang-up job, but dealing with unemployment in the country, but I'm saying if you're suggesting the government shouldn't employ everybody, then I disagree with that. And the government is the largest employer by far, by a mile in this country. All right, the name of this book is... I can't find it. Now you're throwing me off. Okay. I don't remember. I'll find it for you. Anyway... Oh, The Secrets of Infertility. Right. I think, was it The Secrets or Faith? Something like that. Look, I support unions, right? You don't just get to go damage us on what you want. And what I would suggest to the Davis administration is to do, look, it's a time to look good and it's a time to act good, okay? Stop coming out here making pronouncements, X, Y, Z, when y'all ain't sure about exactly what's going on. I certainly do hope that the union members get the salary increases. I don't know about a salary increase over the pandemic. That's a why. But that can't work. I'm sorry. All right. All us depend on tourism. Every government worker got paid in full every month during the shutdown. Minutes feed the people and still they complain. The PLPA feed no one. All they're doing is traveling. Okay. Hey, Juan, I feel the majority of government workers screw over all Bahamians, yet they don't see it that way. They don't realize that our taxes pay for everything. I mean, you got to at some point consider the entirety, consider the whole of the country. As opposed to your own personal interest. I just thought it's wild to me that would happen. Like, that's not, you don't got to pull that trigger, man. That's not what that's for. This, again, this ain't the 1950s, man. Don't look around. Like, we have so many avenues to deal with our issues. Like, that one, it don't make sense to me. You playing a game that I don't know if everybody ready for. Yeah? Real talk. Like, I know you guys denigrate tourism and all this stuff like that. Man, your standard of living would have been whatever it is now you complain about, it would have been half that or less. Y'all always complain about the foreigners, and the foreigners come and the foreigners look around and go, God, y'all got all this going on? Man, I come from a village. Ain't nothing happened. What do you do? Hey, let's get it popping. Or some of them come from a huge city. Be like, man, I can't find this kind of work where I come from. Y'all serious about that? You know why we have them? Because of these tourists. Not just because of them, but they contribute. You look down on the people. You talk bad about the people. I see so many people at these hotels come up dealing with the tourists. Open business of their own. Employ other people. You ain't got to work in tourism for your life. You ain't got to work in tourism try to get a millionaire. But if you're trying to settle your life down, establish you a nice base of income, and then build on it from there, we got a great avenue in tourism. I mean, excellent. And I'm not telling you that because I'm guessing that. I'm telling you that because I live that. I came back here with no job. I worked in a hotel for about 3 years. I was able to get myself straight, on my feet, help my parents, and they are having difficult times. I wouldn't run in a hotel. I was making $1 million. I was no business owner. I had a steady income that I could leverage all these different avenues to make life work for me, to build out what I was fashioning and seeing. I don't got to ask nobody. I lived it. Lived it. Watch other people live it. Over and over again. I don't think you should play with it. Because the cry when everything was shut down was deafening from everyone but the government workers. And even a lot of the government workers had problems because they live in 2-3 income households and they're the only one with a government job. So you'll never in your life hear me tell you we need to withdraw labor to the expense of something critical in this country. You'll never hear me tell BPL, and I love the guys at BPL. And here's the thing, I'll say this, right? I don't think the airport workers are bad people. I don't think that they're not checking for their country. I think they're misled. And I think if Kemsley and the executives of the union didn't say that that's what they needed to do, and don't say you didn't organize it, we have recordings of the meeting. I think if, oh, it's The Secrets of Faith Infertility. That's the name of the book by Dr. Tazaline Saunders. There we go. I'm not, all the brain cells ain't gone. All right. So it was a really good conversation with her too, I got to say. I want to talk more about that one day. We don't talk enough about these things and what this is all about. This is about, well, for me, sorry, and the people I know. This is about families and building your country and having a legacy in your children and what you leave behind. I don't think the guys of the union are bad people. I think that they've just been misled. I think the government also bears a great deal of responsibility for this. You put the cart before the horse, and now it's blowing up in your face. I don't think it's going to be a really fast solution or an easy or painless solution, but you've got to express to them that you're willing to work with them while at the same time explain to them that we can't be doing this. Okay? This ain't what we're doing. Because it's gonna cause an impact that none of us wants. None of us. All right, Dr. Letazia. Sorry, I got it all wrong. Dr. Letazia Saunders. All right. Stuart, I got the whole name wrong. I often butcher people's name. I don't mean to. Maybe I feel an unnatural ease with butchering people's name because everyone butchers my name. Doctor. Okay. All right. We got to go to a break. I can't get to the rest of your questions, your comments. I'm going to find her. Hold on. I look the website up. All right. Oh, excellent. Yeah. She got a YouTube channel too. Excellent. Dr. Letazia Stewart, Amazon. All right. The Secrets of Faith in Fertility. Anyway, we got to go. That's it. Homeboy, come with the recording. I got $500 for you, buddy. However you want it. Yeah? Marlins, how you want it? I go get the old Marlins. I get the new AD Hannahs. Let me know, man. How you want this paper? Bring to me the recording. To me saying I support union people walking off the job in any critical area of this country. I'm gonna give you $500. Wish you was here so I could make you pay. We could take that bet. But don't even worry about it. Bring me the recording. Email, carrier pigeon, FedEx, DHL, however you want to get it to me. Get me the recording of me saying what you say I say to cause you to say I got a two-sided tongue. I'll give you $500. I know you want this $500, bro. You go to Fusion, you go to Bond, all that. One shot on air on my paper. Holler at me. You guys take care out there. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. And have a great day, Bahamas.